This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to another episode here in About Islam. My name is Nahila Morales, and today we are going to be talking about a very important topic, which many of you hear on a constant basis, but very few of us know exactly what it means, right? So today we are going to be talking about taqwa. So I'm going to give it a couple seconds, a couple minutes, so people can log on. If you have any questions, bithnillah, please feel free to send them, and I will try to answer as much as possible. With Ramadan being only 5 days away, this is a very important topic. So if you want to share out and invite others to join the conversation, now is the time to do it, as we are making sure that we share this out ourselves and make sure that everybody, inshallah, can benefit. In particular, those new Muslims, those new Shahadas that perhaps are going to be fasting for the very first time to this Ramadan. So again, today we are going to be talking on ways of how to increase the level of taqwa during the month of Ramadan, which is literally around the corner. And I want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to share this out and invite others to come and join us so we can all benefit, bithnillah. Again, my name is Nahila Morales, and I am a convert. For those of you that may not know, I converted to Islam shortly after, a few years after 9/11. And that was essentially introduction to Islam. So I just want to backtrack a little bit as far as even my own Ramadan. I actually went ahead and tried fasting prior to Ramadan, but didn't know the nuance of Ramadan and what it all entailed. So it was kind of difficult to not having that guidance. So I'm very grateful that we have this platform and that we're able to invite others to come and learn. Okay. So let's get started. So today we're going to be talking about ways to increase, salam alaikum everyone that's joining, about taqwa. And we are going to be entering the month of Ramadan in exactly 5 days. So Ramadan will fall, the first day of fasting will be Saturday, inshallah. So Ramadan will begin with Maghrib on Friday. We are going to be talking about the spiritual aspect of taqwa today, which is very important, as we want to make sure that as we enter Ramadan, we enter with the same excitement and inshallah with a sense of transformation by the time we end Ramadan. So that is the essential goal, that we make sure that we are of those successfuls, that there was some transformation when throughout Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 183, he mentions, "O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, so that you can attain taqwa." So this is a verse that we hear a lot during Ramadan because of the aspect of taqwa, right? And so in this verse alone, I pick out two things. The fact that fasting was prescribed for everyone, male and female. So brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter if you are from a different ethnic race. It doesn't matter if you come from a different nationality. It doesn't matter any of that. The point is that fasting was prescribed for men and women, for everyone. The second thing that I get out of this ayah is that it develops, you will be gaining taqwa with this prescription, with this fasting. And without fasting, one cannot obtain taqwa. And so that is what I get out of this verse. And obviously, there's a lot, but I want to cover as much as possible today. And so normally, when we think of taqwa, or when we ask someone, what is taqwa? What comes to mind to you? To me, normally, as I learned it as a convert, when I just embraced Islam, taqwa was normally described as God conscious or fear of Allah, which both are correct. They're not incorrect. That is right. Ultimately, what is taqwa? And that's one of the questions that we need to make sure that we're able to answer. And in a very brief answer to that, but we'll get more into it, taqwa, the way I see it is basically that we obey Allah with everything that he has ordained, and we restrain ourselves with everything that he has prohibited, right? Any prohibition. So basically engaging in Allah's commands and abstaining from any prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained from us. That is essentially taqwa, to always be conscious that you want to gain Allah's pleasure, Allah's mercy, Allah's love. And what better way than during this month, the month of normally known as also the month of taqwa. We also know Ramadan is known as the month of the Quran. This is the ninth month in the lunar calendar for us Muslims that the Quran was revealed. So there's a lot of layers that we need to think about when it comes to taqwa, right? Now, God conscious, what does that mean to us? God conscious means that we are always seeking for the pleasure of Allah, and we don't ever want to get his anger, or we never want to make him upset. So if you see, there's a perfect example. If you ever see a harmful rock on the road, or something that, you know, a banana peel on the sidewalk, you're going to remove it, because essentially, you know, you want to gain the pleasure of Allah. And the way we gain that is by taking care of his creation, and that will be pleasing of him. So to avoid any time of harm to Allah's creation, starting with yourself, starting with your family, and obviously growing into your community, it's so important for us to be mindful of this sense of God consciousness, right? And so one of the things that, you know, we talk about, or we think about when we think about fasting, is this is, some say, the third, the fourth pillar in Islam. So we have the Shahada, then we have Salat, which is a prayer, and then some say that is the fasting, so the third pillar of Islam. And so this is the one pillar, unlike the prayer, unlike charity, unlike pilgrimage, as a matter of fact, this is the one pillar that is basically invisible. And what does that mean? That means that only you and Allah knows when you're fasting. Because I remember when my son was growing up, and he would tell me he would want to fast as a very young child. We're talking about 7, 8 years old. And obviously they're very young. It's not obligatory upon them. You start teaching them and you don't discourage it. So if your children want to fast, make sure that you encourage it till whatever time they're able to. So we started gradually. We would start till 10 a.m., till 11, till 12, till 1, and so on and so forth. And so, subhanAllah, you know, there was a time where I had to explain to him, are you really fasting? Because he would put something in his mouth. And I would say, this is the only thing that, the only act, or the only worship, the act of worship that only it's between you and Allah, and you know if you're fasting or not. Allah sees you. So why do we restrain ourselves? Because we know that Allah is all-knowing, all-seeing, and therefore this is the one pillar that is basically invisible to the world. Perhaps you can say you're fasting, but only you and Allah knows if you're fasting. You can go in another room and put something in your mouth and come out and say, yeah, I'm fasting. Nobody would know that, but you know, and you're conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us at all times. And so This is something very important. Fasting is one of those things that teaches us sincerity, right? So when you know that you are sincere with yourself, with your creator, you know that obviously you can't lie to Allah. So it teaches you that sincerity. It teaches you also that control and that discipline against your own desires. And so one of the things I think about during fasting, right, that a lot of things that are halal, like, for example, normally throughout the year, eating and drinking and, you know, if you're married, sexual relationships with your spouse, they're all halal during the entire year. But it's this time, specific time, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us to abstain from it, right? To leave food and drink and desires, to get closer to Him. And so when we think of that, or I think of that, I think of it as a boot camp. I think of it as an opportunity of training ground, right? This is an opportunity of, normally we think we can do certain things, but when it comes to Ramadan and we're able to abstain from these things that are normally halal, then we know that we are able to do much more than sometimes we tell ourselves that we can. So when we think of taqwa as well, and this is something that I normally, you know, discuss with some of the sisters, is Allah is so merciful that He's giving us these 30 days to, inshallah, get closer in that connection. So the connection with the Quran, and this is one of the things that we need to make sure that we don't lose any time, because before you know it, we will be in the last 10 days of Ramadan and the last 10 nights, and we will be wishing that we would have done more. So I would highly encourage, now that we are only 5 days away, we still have time, those attainable goals that we normally talk about, you know, that will make sure that whatever it is that you are trying to obtain during this month, and obviously taqwa is the main focus for Ramadan, but what takes us there? What are the things that will allow us to gain this taqwa, right? So whether it's, you know, increasing in your dhikr, you know, if you're not a person that, you know, does remembrance of Allah when you're driving, perhaps start doing this during Ramadan so it becomes habitual. And that's what we want out of Ramadan. We want to make sure that any bad habits that we do have, we put them away, and not only for Ramadan, but for good. But we also want to obtain some really good habits that will get us closer to our Creator. And one of those ways is to obviously make it a habit. Make it a habit to always have your lips moist with the remembrance of Allah. And this is your Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah. You know, just this simple dhikr, you know, of gratitude and love, and just remembering who is your sustainer, right? Who is the one that has maintained you up until this day. And so, subhanAllah, this past Juma, this past Friday, I was called and I was asked to go and help with the ghusl for a sister. And as I was driving, it really hit me, because at that point, it was 8 days till Ramadan. And sometimes we get so comfortable with life. We get so comfortable with, you know, the way we're running just on an everyday basis. And we think we're almost certain that we're going to make it to Ramadan. And as I was driving there, and it was a fellow revert. At the time, I didn't know she was a convert. But when I got there, I found out she was a revert, and her non-Muslim family was there. Alhamdulillah, they were allowing for her to be buried as a Muslim, and they were respecting and honoring her faith. But as I was driving there, I kept thinking, Ya Allah, 8 days till Ramadan, and this sister did not make it. And here we are thinking we're going to make it, right? We're thinking, for sure, I'm only 5 days away. It's only 3 days away. We all have an expiration date. When that date is going to come, we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that knows when that book will be closed. And so we need to make sure we work on the taqwa that we're talking about, that God consciousness, that, you know, wanting to make sure that we're gaining the pleasure of Allah at all times. And so, yeah, it really hit me differently. First of all, it was Jummah. Second of all, so close to Ramadan, only 8 days away. And here we are washing the body of a sister I've never met. But I remember making a lot of dua. And, you know, this is one of the things you need to keep your lips moist with dua, right? This is another way of act of worship. Always asking Allah to make us better. Always asking Allah in these next few days to allow us to get to the month of Ramadan, to allow us to benefit, to allow us to change our ways, whatever is that you want to change. And you only know that, right? The expectations that people put on each other, we should kind of put that away and only, you know, make the plan for whatever is attainable, whatever we're able and capable. You know, I hear a lot of times, you know, people saying, oh, well, this Ramadan, I'm going to read the Quran 2 times or 5 times or it. What is that going to do? I think that's the most important thing. Is that going to get me closer to Allah or is that going to get me more fatigue and tired and overwhelmed, and I'm not really comprehending or I'm not really digesting, so I'm not going to implement. And so one of the beautiful things about our deen is that we learn that the Sahaba used to learn very little at a time, 10 ayahs at a time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not teach anymore until they learned it and they implemented, right? So this is one of the sunnahs that we should really try to make sure. The Quran didn't come all at once. It came in increments because we needed to make sure that we grasped it, we learned it, and we implemented and we memorized it, and we're teaching it to our children, to our family, making sure that we are being better human beings, right? So, yeah, that was really shocking to me this past weekend. And so let's make sure that, you know, as we continue to count down, as we continue to pray to reach Ramadan, that we make sure that, inshallah, not only are we taking care of ourselves, but are taking care of our loved ones. If you have children, make sure to get that excitement going, because that taqwa, you're starting to put that seed, right? Of Ramadan is coming. Allah loves us to read the Quran. Allah loves us to pray on time. If you're not praying, or if you're praying one prayer, add 2 prayers, and increment. By the time Ramadan ends, you want to make sure you are on point and you got as close as you could, and you will continue this relationship with our Creator. Another thing is that oftentimes we say, you know, I'm only whatever age, right? For example, I'm 46 years old. I still have a long life. No, we don't know when that end of the closing book, we don't know when that's going to happen. Perhaps it's going to be my last Ramadan. Allahu alam, only Allah knows. And so we want to make sure that we make the best of it, inshallah. And so taqwa, the word taqwa by itself, it's mentioned in the Quran over 250 plus times, right? So this is so important for us to make sure that we are not just Muslims. Anyone can be a Muslim, but a mu'min, we need to make sure that we strive and we strive for the pleasure of Allah at all times. So, you know, another thing that we don't often think about as Ramadan is approaching, as Ramadan is reaching, we don't necessarily think of perhaps forgiving people, right? Or swallowing our anger or controlling our anger. We have it in our sunnah left and right, how the Prophet ﷺ used to take care of that. And, you know, he instructs us, if you're very angry, sit down, you know, drink some water. Now we have so many breathing techniques. If that doesn't work, okay, lie down. And so we need to make sure to start emphasizing all of this, especially during the month of Ramadan. We don't want to be fasting all day and then you're on the road rage, and then you lose it, you know, the last hour, you know, before you break your fast. So this is what taqwa is, conscious of Allah, making sure that at all times you are, you know, connected in one way or another. And this is why I emphasize a lot on, you know, the remembrance of Allah, keeping those lips moist with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, listening to Quran if you're driving, you know, instead of if you're someone that listens to music. As converts, we come with, jahiliya, ignorance. We didn't know better. But as we are changing our lives, we can't get stuck in one place. We need to make sure that we are bettering ourselves as we are getting closer to meet our Creator. Because with each day that, time passes, obviously we're getting closer to meet our Maker. And so really quick, five ways to increase your taqwa, and I'll just give you a couple now, but I would say get to know who Allah is, right? If anything this Ramadan, if you want to get to know your Creator, is by learning His beautiful 99 names. And that alone will increase your taqwa by volumes, especially when you are in times of desperation, in times of trial, in times of test, when your funds are going down, to remember that He is Al-Razak, right? He is the one that gives and the one that takes. So we don't lose that hope. Knowing His names and knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is will actually allow us and help us in these difficult times to make sure that we are, inshallah, not losing that hope. And I was listening to a lecture. I'll go back to this, but I was listening to a lecture, and subhanAllah, it really hit home when the Sheikh was saying somewhere around the lines, and I'm just paraphrasing, he was saying, we all know that during Ramadan, the shaitan, he's put away, right? So what happens when we still have all of that anger and there's no shaitan to blame? So what happens? Some of that residue it stays in us. And the way he said it was kind of harsh, but he basically said, sometimes we have the shaitan within us and we have to be cognizant. We have to make sure that we remember that they're locked up. So whatever is happening, throughout the month of Ramadan, it's really essentially us. And so we got to keep, we got to keep ourselves on check and make sure that, we are not doing anything to displease Allah or gain His wrath. So I would say, like, another very important number two, I would say, seeking knowledge. You have 30 days. I know life goes on, especially if you live in the West and you're not in a Muslim country where things shut down. I've been in a Muslim country during Ramadan, and it's like life becomes, silent and quiet throughout the day. And then, as Maghrib is about to come, it's like everything is back to life, right? Lights are back on, businesses are open and what have you. We don't have that luxury here in the West. So I would highly encourage you that those pockets that you do have, whether it's lunchtime, whether it's a break, whether it's your drive to and from work, take the most advantage of whatever knowledge, whether it's a podcast about, a specific thing you want to learn, whether you want to listen to a lecture, or perhaps just like we've been saying, just listen to Quran. That will increase also that taqwa, because you are listening to the Quran. If you have the audio, where if you're not an Arab speaker, I normally listen to it both Arabic and English, because I want to make sure that I'm understanding what I'm listening to, even though the Quran by itself hits the heart, right? Especially if you pick a reciter that you really like and has a beautiful voice, and may Allah preserve them all, mashallah, and bless them. So knowledge is so important. It will help you throughout your journey, not only through Ramadan, not only now, but it also will help you after Ramadan. So continue to seek knowledge. Don't get stuck with just knowing, this enough. Always try to strive. I always say, when we get to a new job, we normally think about the next position, right? We enter the job today. We're on entry level. We're thinking already, oh, I'm going to work very hard. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to do extra. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that so I can be manager or I can be supervisor. So this is the way we're supposed to, or we should, especially for the, I'm speaking for those who come into the faith and even born Muslims, but we should always strive to work on our deen, on our Islam within ourselves, making sure that we don't get stuck to just the bare minimum, right? And so, again, if you are stuck in only praying your fard, your obligatory prayers during Ramadan, try to make sure that you start praying your sunnah and so on and so forth. If you're able to, do not burden yourself. But if you can go for taraweeh, this is also will increase your taqwa, right? Because you will be among community. You will be among people that perhaps you've never met or you have never seen. And so just that sense of community normally brings hearts together. And so I highly encourage if you could put some time aside, whether it's the weekend or your day off, and make sure to go to the masjid. The feel is completely different. Go with an open heart. Don't ever go there judging or, oh, this person only came during Ramadan or this person only shows up for taraweeh. Like, we are no one to judge. That is Allah's job. You are there to cleanse yourself, to make sure that you become better, that you feel that, you know, good spirit, good ambience, good, you know, surrounding, good environment, listening to the Quran, being able to pray. I mean, this year will be the first year in 2 years that we are heading back to the masjid. For the last 2 years, we were praying at home. So make the most of it. Make sure that if, you know, you do hear little kids crying or what have you, be patient. Remember that you were once too little, and only your parents and Allah knows how we were, right, when we were children. So make sure that you are patient and make sure that you are not harsh, especially to those who perhaps are dealing with whatever situation they are dealing with. The other thing is, you know, be helpful. When we think about Ramadan, I know when I think about Ramadan, we always think about charity. We always look for opportunities. And so think of habits outside of Ramadan. Are we only going to be this way during Ramadan? No, this is supposed to be our boot camp. So inshallah, we will carry this out through Ramadan and beyond. Look for opportunities. If wealth is not something that you have been blessed with, but you have time, this is also wealth. So make sure that you signed up for, you know, volunteering, whether it's at the masjid. I know masjids need a lot of volunteers during Ramadan. And so that's also very important. And that will increment your taqwa as you are around other brothers and sisters, inshallah, during Ramadan, and you're helping and you're gaining the blessing, right? So during Ramadan, we know that our blessings increase. And so what better way than to utilize your time correctly than by being of service to Allah? Because essentially that's what we are. We are servants of Allah, and we want to make sure that we're making the most of it during this time. One of the things that always gets to me, right, that a lot, we hear a lot of the hadiths and we hear a lot of the ayahs, like I mentioned before, over 250 plus, the word taqwa was mentioned. Okay, I think we're back. Apologies for that. Okay, so we're almost at the end. Again, my apologies for that. I think we lost connection for a minute. So I want to really conclude with us making sure and being very mindful that this month of Ramadan is, it can be perhaps the last month, and we need to make sure that as we are fasting again and as we're entering, you know, the houses of Allah, that we see all the virtues in our atmosphere and our environment, that we make sure that we are kind to one another, you know, that we are building that unity and that peace, harmony, that brotherhood, sisterhood. This is all what is taqwa, right? Always making sure that you're seeking for Allah's pleasure as you are staying in the bounds where Allah, you know, you are okay. You abstain from anything that Allah does not want us to do, you know, and you make sure that you take full benefit of this. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought for a minute there. I want to pretty much wrap up with, you know, thanking all of our viewers during this month. We are going to have a campaign, and we want to encourage everyone to invest in your akhirah. And one way to invest in your akhirah is by making sure that you include us as part of your donations and your charity, as we are working very hard to make sure to bring more material and content, not only for converts, but for everybody to benefit, inshallah. So with that, I will close. Again, thank you so much. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to reach Ramadan, and that we make the best out of this Ramadan, and that we come out better Muslims, better sons, better wives, better husbands, and that we make sure that whatever we learn in Ramadan, we are able to implement far and beyond. Please, anything I have said that is good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I have said that is not of good is for myself. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.